Hello, fabulous, fantastic, fearless, flightless, and featherless fact fanatics. Hopefully. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 30. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. And it's time for your weekly peek at the oblique squeaks of unique geeks.
Nice.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris. And if you have feathers, we here at Good Job Brain would like to encourage you, please visit a doctor.
And today's show is brought to you by our spectacularly spiffy, splendid sponsor, Audible, the go-to place for awesome audiobooks, including our favorites and our fans' favorite books about trivia, weird facts, and secret histories. We're actually going to feature and share some of our listeners' recommendations later in our Brainiacs Book Club segment. So stay tuned and visit audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain for your free audiobook download. And, of course, today is our all-quiz bonanza number 6. We have each prepared and designed a quiz segment to stump each other and to stump you, the listeners. But we're doing all quiz a little different today because we are dedicating this week's episode to a very special person. He is Frederick G. from New York. You may know or may not know this podcast started as a Kickstarter initiative late last year, and a lot of awesome people donated money to help us get the equipment and other stuff that we needed to actually start this podcast. And Fred was our top backer.
Fred stepped it up.
Thank you so much, Fred. And as a reward, we're dedicating this episode to you, Fred. And all of the segments on today's show are inspired by Fred's favorite subjects and topics. So thanks, Fred. And we hope you enjoy today's show.
Thank you, Fred.
Of course, we're going to start our usual show with our general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. And I got a random Trivial Pursuit card here. Get your buzzers ready. Blue Wedge for geography. What African country's name comes from the Portuguese for Lion Mountains?
Sierra Leone.
Yeah. Correct!
Putting it together, yep.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. Name three of the four personas of the members of KISS. Not band members, but personas.
That would be Spaceman or Space Ace, Catman, Starchild, and the Demon.
Wow!
I was going to say Kitty Face.
Unfortunately, you said to name three of the four, not all of them.
So you're wrong. Lose. You're the biggest
so wrong.
So one of us gets to buzz in. Space Thing.
Yes.
Cat Whatever.
Kitty Face.
And Satan Head.
Yes,
and
you're
the tongue. And the tongue one.
And Gene Simmons. I think that's his character's
name. I think I like Kitty Face more than Catman. Kitty Face.
He has
you
the
know.
Whiskers and stuff.
I think it's safe to say that Catman is the least intimidating of the four makeup. Yeah. You just want to pet him and give him a little yeah. treat or something.
A little dish of milk.
Yeah.
Why are you licking your butt?
All right, Yellow Wedge. What 18th century invention did its creator claim worked so quickly the subject would feel nothing but a refreshing coolness?
Lobotomy.
Incorrect, but close.
That would be the guillotine.
Yes, guillotine.
I feel minty fresh.
Talked about in a previous show. Yeah, a refreshing coolness.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. That was the first ad campaigns for guillotine. Yeah. the refreshing cool
it's like,
maker.
Yeah,
the guillotine. Why would I want to pay for this?
Purple Wedge. What does Venus stand on in Botticelli's painting Birth of Venus? Chris.
A shell.
Yes, a seashell. Green Wedge for science. What is the only metal that is liquid at room temperature? Oh, Colin.
Mercury.
Correct. Last question. Orange Wedge. Who coached Mary Lou Retton, Nadia Comaneci, and Carrie Strug? Colin.
That's Bella Caroli.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh, you didn't grow up in America in the
80s. Oh, yeah, apparently not, no.
Nadia Comaneci.
Yeah, and especially Carrie Strug and that team, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that
yeah.
iconic image of him carrying her with the injured leg?
Well, yeah. I know the gymnast.
He was even involved
in
the Olympics. I mean, this year he wasn't coaching, but he was there.
All right. And let's start our all quiz number 6, dedicated to Fred. Who wants to go first?
Fred let us know that among his many, many varied interests are such musical acts as David Bowie.
Yes.
And so I decided, I'm also a David Bowie fan.
I am too.
So I decided I'm going to sort of run with that and have a quiz that's inspired by rock personas.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Hmm. David Bowie, you know, known for being just ultimate performer, very flamboyant, really bringing it all. This quiz is rock alter egos.
Yeah.
Eu não vi o seu filme, não sou de jogar. Não bebo em pé, não frequento barra. Assim me sinto bem, não devo a ninguém.
So it's all about...
Do we just have a question about that?
I was going to say, I hope Catman's on here.
Kitty face.
So this is all about alter egos, personas, fake names of people who you know by another performing name.
Oh, okay.
And it may be an individual, it may be a band in some cases. So I'm going to name the alter ego. You tell me the singer or the band.
Oh, good one, good
one. All right. Ziggy Stardust. That was Chris, I believe.
David Bowie.
Yes, that was David Bowie. So I figured we would start off here with an easy one. Ziggy Stardust was the alien rock star persona that he performed as. Great album, great concert film as well. Chris Gaines.
Oh.
Karen.
Garth Brooks.
That is Garth Brooks. And you want to give a little bit more detail about that?
Yeah, why does he have a fake name?
Because he decided to not really change his career, but he was like a country star and he wanted to experiment with other types of music, right?
Yeah, it was really high concept. He wanted to come out with this alter ego of this Australian-born rocker, not country.
Yeah.
And eventually he wanted to lead up to a movie, and they canned the movie. There just wasn't enough. There wasn't enough reaction to the album. He released an album called Chris Gaines called Greatest Hits. And, like, the concept was that this was his retrospective of his greatest hits. It was very high concept. Wow. Paisley Park. I'll give you a couple more. This person also had...
Whoa.
Alexander Nevermind, Joey Coco, and Paisley Park.
It's like a serial mascot.
Prince? It is Prince.
Yeah.
Yes. Huh. He had a lot of pseudonyms for songwriting credits.
Oh,
especially for songs that he would write for other people, because he was really worried about rights and things like that.
Oh, so it's not necessarily he's performing as these personas,
right.
But it's kind of like pseudonym.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Paisley Park is also the name of his recording studio.
That's what I thought it was. So I was like thrown off. I didn't know that was his character too.
All right.
Okay.
Frank Black.
God, that sounds familiar. Oh, that sounds so familiar.
Better known as is Black Francis of the Pixies. So yeah, when he went on his solo career, he kind of inverted his name, which was already a stage name. All right, this one's a little tricky here.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Shears.
That sounds familiar too.
Chris.
Paul McCartney.
Yes, it depends on how you want to go with this one. You can go a couple ways.
He was a member of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yes.
So, right. But he was a Paul McCartney impersonator.
Well, so this is where the actual story gets mixed with urban legend.
Sure,
so
yeah.
On the Sgt. Pepper concept album, Billy Shears was the band leader.
Yes.
And who was actually Ringo. Ringo's character was Billy
Shears.
And in the beginning of the album, you know, I'd like to introduce to you the one and only Billy Shears. And now this got conflated with the whole Paul is dead story. And so in 1966, before the album came out, there's this fan theory ran wild that Paul had actually died and was replaced with an imposter. After Sgt. Pepper came out, all the conspiracy theorists are like, oh, his name is Billy Shears. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that got to replace Paul.
Right.
So you could go either way with that one. You could say it's an alter persona for
Ringo
or for
supposed
Paul.
To be Ringo? Oh, okay. Weird. Okay.
People had a lot of time back then.
I wonder how long that rumor lasted. They really did. Well, they didn't have the internet to correct them so fast.
Fake. Jeez.
Fake.
All right. Last one here. Star Child, Spaceman, Catman,
Kitty Face, you mean?
And the Demon, Chris,
Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, Trivial Pursuit stole my question.
I can't believe that.
That's never happened. I think that's a
good, that's a first.
That's a good job, Brain First. Where
what are the chances?
Coincidence?
Because you know how many cards are in that box.
So yes, if you were paying attention from 45 seconds ago, those are the personas of the KISS, the KISS members based on their makeup.
That's awesome.
I got so mad when you read that question.
But they inverted the question, which I think is way harder.
Yeah.
Like to hear those four things, you might think to yourself, oh, is it KISS?
Right,
but
right.
But to say, come up with them, it's like recognition versus recall, mm-hmm. which yeah. is so different.
And if you're really a KISS nerd, there is actually a mnemonic if you want to remember which one is which. So, so the demon is pretty easy. That's Gene Simmons, the really demonic one.
Okay.
Spaceman was also known as Space Ace, so that's Ace Frehley.
Okay.
Star Child was Paul Stanley, so Stanley. Okay.
Star.
Then the Catman was Peter Chris, so Chris Catman.
Star, Ace, Space Ace, Spaceman.
All right, Rockstar alter egos and personas.
Woo! Very good.
Thanks, Colin. Cool. Okay, so Fred is from Belgium.
Yes,
apparently.
He is.
So I made a quiz called Is it Belgium or not Belgium?
Well, I mean, really, anything in the world can be put into one of those two categories.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very logical.
Yeah.
Okay, hold up one finger if you think it is Belgium. Two fingers if you think it's not. I think buzzing in on a 50-50 guess quiz is
a lot. Crazy.
Yeah. Brussels sprouts. Are they from Belgium or not from Belgium? You all say no, they are.
Oh, we all overthought, yeah.
That was the easiest question.
I thought that was too easy.
I'm glad that I chose this format. Otherwise, it would be a bloodbath, probably.
Brussels sprouts
are actually from Belgium.
From Brussels.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Belgium.
Oh, great.
Huh. I learn something new every day. It's good. The Holy Roman Empire was started here by Charlemagne. Belgium or not Belgium? You all say yes. The answer is no. It was Germany.
Oh.
You're in our head now.
You are in our head. Quiz, yeah.
I'm quadruple guessing myself now.
Yeah. He's like, is it a trick of a trick? And what if she thinks it's a trick?
Yeah. You could say the president of Belgium, and I would say, not Belgium.
The most castles per square mile. Belgium or not Belgium? Karen says not. Colin says yes. Chris says yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was going to be like Ireland or Scotland.
On the board.
The coffee filter was invented here. Oh. Belgium, not Belgium.
Oh.
Karen says not.
I'm going to say not.
Chris.
I'm going to say Belgium.
Chris says yes. Colin says not. It is not. It's Germany.
It's always Germany.
I thought it was going to be Italy.
I was going to name this quiz Belgium, France, or Germany. That's a hint for you guys. Because they're all kind of near each other, and they have... There's crossover.
I like Belgium or not Belgium.
Yeah.
That's more of a pizzazz.
My reasoning on that one was it would be like a French press, so they wouldn't have a filter.
Mm.
The metric system.
Oh, dang. Oh. Dang, dang, dang.
Colin says yes.
I'm going to say yes. There's smart people
Karen
there.
Karen says yes.
Yes.
No, it was in France.
Sorry, Fred. We totally don't know Belgium that well.
That's totally why I chose this format.
We're ascribing all of these things to Belgium while taking away all of its accomplishments.
Where was the metric system?
France.
Oh, that makes sense
because that's where the international standards for all the metric are kept.
Okay. But see, maybe the dude is from Belgium.
That's true.
Okay, well, how about this? The Communist Manifesto was written here.
Whoa.
Belgium, not Belgium. Colin says no.
I'm going to guess German.
Karen says yes.
Yeah. Belgium.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah!
Because Karl Marx was in exile from Germany, and he went to Belgium.
Oh.
And he met Engels there. Europe's largest economy.
Largest economy.
Not Belgium.
I'm going to say not.
So Colin and Chris say not. Karen says yes. No, it is Germany.
Yeah.
That I know, because everybody's going to them with their hand out.
Here's one for Karen, though. Black, yellow, and red flag with horizontal stripes.
Germany's flag is horizontal stripes.
Yes. Do you know Belgium's flag?
It's the same, but vertical stripes.
Yes.
Oh.
That's the little trick.
A little tricky.
Yep. So Germany has the same color, horizontal. Belgium, same color, vertical.
Oh, I like that.
Belgian waffles.
Not Belgium.
Yes, Belgium.
I say yes.
Yes.
Yeah! Yes. Belgian waffles actually from Belgium.
Woo!
I don't know what the score is. You don't know what the scores are.
I think it's almost tied for everybody.
Yay! Yay!
You guys equally suck at Belgian trivia.
We're all equally poor.
I have a quick quiz for all of us. This is not going to take very long. One of the subjects that Fred wanted us to cover was the films of Quentin Tarantino.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
And I'm wondering what it is I should do. And as many of you may know, the films of Quentin Tarantino all kind of share one universe or a couple of different universes, because characters will go back and forth between his films.
Right.
Characters from one film will show up in another or maybe get referenced in another, thus establishing continuity between this whole universe. So I'm going to name two Quentin Tarantino films, and you are going to buzz in and tell me the major character or characters that connect those two films.
Oh, no. Right? I've only seen a couple.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
We'll see.
This might
we'll
be
start right. off with this.
This might be another Belgian round for me.
Sure. Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. Karen.
I believe they're the Vega brothers.
Yes, it's the Vega brothers.
John Travolta from Pulp Fiction and Michael Madsen from Reservoir Dogs are related.
One of the only characters who's actually named by his real name in Reservoir Dogs is Michael Madsen's character, Vic Vega. And Tarantino has, in fact, said, yes, he is the brother of Vincent Vega, John Travolta's character from Pulp Fiction. Tarantino had said that he had kicked around the idea of doing... now, both of these characters, of course, in their respective movies, died. He had said he had kicked around doing a prequel about the Vega brothers, in which John Travolta and Michael Madsen play the brothers before they died. However, owing to the advancing age of both actors, this is less and less likely by the day. Yeah.
Burn.
Tough to do a film about young John Travolta with current John Travolta in it. Inglourious Basterds.
Oh.
True Romance. Colin.
What? That would be the father-son, I think, of Donowitz, right?
Indeed.
So in Inglourious Basterds, Donnie Donowitz, who's played by
Eli Roth.
Yeah. Played by Eli Roth, is supposed to be the father of Lee Donowitz, who's the producer character in True Romance.
That is correct.
Wow. Yep.
Okay, two movies we've just talked about, True Romance and Reservoir Dogs.
What?
Colin?
I believe it's connected with Alabama.
Yes.
Right? Patricia Arquette in True Romance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was supposed to be in the universe like the ex-partner of... I forget whose partner she was supposed to be.
It was Vic Vega's.
Oh, it was Vic Vega's ex-partner. Okay.
How do you... know this.
Like, he refers to her in the movie, and then again, Tarantino was like, oh yeah, when he's referring to Alabama, his ex-partner, he is talking about Alabama from True Romance.
Wow.
Yeah. Right, right.
Now, a lot of people have noted, well, this means, it's like, why are the worlds of Quentin Tarantino's movies so messed up? It's like, well, because they all flow from an alternate reality in which Hitler was brutally murdered, you know, by the Inglourious Basterds. You know, that was how World War II ended.
So it yielded a much more violent universe.
Yes. Finally, Kill Bill and Death Proof. How are Kill Bill... This is the head-scratcher for Colin, who knows all this.
Is it Mike the Stuntman?
It's not Mike the Stuntman, no. The character is Sheriff Earl McGraw and his son. The sheriff who kind of shows up in Death Proof and also shows up in Kill Bill. This father and son team of lawmen, Tarantino has said, are some of the only characters who can move between two universes, because Kill Bill does not take place in the same universe, technically, as Pulp Fiction. But these characters have, in fact, shifted between those two separate realities that he set up. Well, anyway, that's my very fast Tarantino quiz.
Well, I have a piggybacking on the idea of movies. I have a quiz about Western remakes of Asian movies.
Oh!
Yeah. Right. So, okay. Fred, okay. one of his topics he suggested was Asian cinema.
Ah.
And so a lot of people don't know that a lot of famous Western movies are remakes of an earlier Asian movie.
Right, right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the plot of the Western movie, and you have to identify it. And then I'll tell you what the Asian counterpart is.
Cool.
Okay, let's start with something a little bit easy. An oppressed village assembles 7 fighters to help defend their homes. Chris.
It's the Magnificent 7.
Correct. Yes. And do you know what Asian film it was based on?
It's based on Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Magnificent 7 with Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen. Very, very good movie.
All-star cast.
Both very good movies. And a little side note. You might remember Pixar's little movie called A Bug's Life, which is partially also inspired by Seven Samurai.
Nice. Mm.
Goes out, finds a band of eclectic bugs to help them defend their little colony. All right, here's the summary. A romantic comedy where a bored, overworked estate lawyer, upon first sight of a beautiful instructor, signs up for ballroom dancing lessons.
Is it Shall We Dance?
Correct. Yeah. It is Shall We Dance, starring Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez, based on a Japanese movie called Shall We Dance, which is lauded as a great, charming kind of romantic comedy. Very, very good.
I saw that. I saw the Japanese version. It was really
charming. It was very good. Yeah. Two men from opposite sides of the law are undercover within the police and the mafia.
The Departed.
Yes.
Oh,
Martin
right.
Scorsese's The Departed, based on...
Infernal Affairs.
Yes. Very famous Hong Kong movie, Infernal Affairs. All right, here's another one. A wandering fighter plays 2 rival families against each other in a town torn apart by greed, pride, and revenge.
Is it Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
Close.
Yeah, I know it's one of those, yeah.
It is Fistful of Dollars, also with Clint Eastwood, based on...
Yojimbo?
Yes, Yojimbo, also by Kurosawa. Actually, there is another movie starring Bruce Willis called Last Man Standing, also with Christopher Walken, about gangsters. That is also officially said. It's kind of a remake of Kurosawa's Yojimbo.
Mm.
All right, last one. A lonely doctor begins exchanging love letters with a frustrated architect. They must try to unravel the mystery behind their extraordinary time-traveling romance before it's too late. Dana.
The Lake House.
Yes, The Lake House, starring Keanu Reeves.
And Sandra Bullock.
And Sandra Bullock, based on a South Korean movie called Il Marais.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Such a confusing movie.
That was. Like, apparently one of them lives 2 years behind the other one, yet the only way they can communicate is through putting letters in a mailbox.
Well, how does your mailbox work? Welcome to the real world, Karen.
Yeah, I talk to people 2 years ago all the time.
My neighbor who used to live here.
So there you go, a little quick quiz. Actually, when I was researching for this quiz, most of the Western remakes of Asian movies are horror movies.
Right, right.
Like The Ring or The Grudge or Juo. So I try to not go into that path of all horror movies.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that you were going to have some horror movies in there. That was good. That was good.
All right, so let's take a quick break from quizzing, and it's time for our Brainiacs Book Club segment, inspired by our sponsor, Audible, and by our listeners who often ask us about books or resources that we read to help us stay sharp. So last week, we shared some of our favorite eccentric trivia reads, and this week, we're actually going to feature some of our listeners' suggestions, and they have some really good ones. So Alex Ham from Facebook suggested this book called The Disappearing Spoon. And Other True Tales of Madness, Love, and the History of the World from the Periodic Table of Elements.
Ooh.
And this is by Sam Keen.
Ooh.
That sounds good, huh?
It sounds really good.
Like my kind of book, yeah.
It's like a funny, alarming, infectious bunch of stories about the periodic table chronicling from one element to another, answering such burning questions like, why did Gandhi hate iodine? Why did the Japanese kill Godzilla with missiles made of cadmium? And other urgent mystery. Yeah.
Why did I just breathe a bunch of nitrogen?
So yeah, very, very cool for all the science nerds. And Zachary Messer suggested this book by Mary Roach called Packing for Mars. And it's full of trivia and really well-written stories and interviews about the nitty-gritty stuff about space travel.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. I've seen that one in stores, yeah.
they talk about, you know, really, how do they go to the bathroom, and how NASA used to do a lot of crash testing with cadavers. It gets a little bit dark, but it's still interesting and funny that one of the anecdotes in the book is about how they actually packed the U.S. flag for the moon landing. So there's a big flag. They had a special way to pack it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, and I noticed that you had said one of the recommendations from listener Allison P. was Wicked Plants.
Yes, that you have the book.
I do, indeed. In fact, it was quite helpful in preparation of our Plants Are Messed Up episode. Chock full of evil and vicious and poisonous and all kinds of
a-hole plants.
For lack of a better term.
Wicked Plants, The Weed That Killed Lincoln's Mother and Other Botanical Atrocities by Amy Stewart. So these books are all available as audiobooks on Audible. So if you want to give it a try, go to audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain for your free audiobook download. And of course, if you have any more of your own suggestions, you can also email, tweet, or Facebook message us, and we might feature it on air.
Thanks for those suggestions, guys.
Yeah!
So one of the topics suggested by Fred was video games. You'd think this would actually be easy, all of us being in the video game industry. However, as it turns out, this is one of the hardest quizzes to write because we're all so deeply, deeply steeped in minutiae of video games.
Right.
We no longer have any perspective on whether it is something that's super easy or incredibly obscure that no one else would know. So I've done my best here to actually write some questions that I think are right about the correct level of difficulty, and even if everyone here around the table knows them, maybe our listeners will enjoy trying to think about this a little bit.
That's actually like a counter challenge for you to write video game trivia questions.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Pong is sometimes thought of as being the first arcade game, but it's not. What is?
I know this.
Okay, we've hit the right level of difficulty. Karen.
I know it's like a crude spaceship game. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's not. It's based on the earliest computer game, which is called Space War, but the arcade game version was called... It's called Computer Space. That was the name.
No.
Computer Space. That was the name of the first arcade game released by Atari, as it turns out. Okay.
Cool name, bro.
They didn't have any other names they had to beat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't. That's true. Pong was the first successful arcade game. Name the first 3 video games in which the main player character was Mario. Karen.
First chronological?
Yep, the first 3 in chronological order in which the main player character was Mario.
Donkey Kong?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Mario Brothers?
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers?
Very good, yes! Yeah. So not Donkey Kong Jr. Mario was in it, but he was not a playable character.
Yeah!
You could play as Mario in a brief bonus section of Nintendo's video pinball game, but I said main player character. Name 2 people who have played Mario in live action.
Oh,
do porn versions count?
They do not, no.
Was Bob Hoskins
one? Bob Hoskins was one of them. Who was the one who played Mario on TV?
Oh.
There was a live-action Mario on TV?
There was, yeah. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
I remember
starring,
the cartoon.
Starring world-famous professional wrestling manager Captain Lou Albano.
Oh!
Played as Mario. He took all the rubber bands out of his ear for that character.
That's why I didn't recognize him.
Dustin Hoffman really wanted to play the character of Mario in the Super Mario Brothers movie because his kids were so into the game, but he did not get the part. Probably because he looked absolutely nothing like Mario. They originally wanted Danny DeVito, but too high-priced. So they had to go with the cheaper
like
Danny DeVito. Yeah, well, you know, he had some star power coming out of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's how his agent builds him. He's like, he's the poor man's Danny DeVito.
Speaking of slogans for people, what 1981 game was first introduced as the new femme fatale of the game world? Dana.
Is it Ms. Pac-Man?
It is, yeah.
Oh! Is it Mrs. or Ms.?
It's Ms. Pac-Man.
That's what I thought.
They were originally going to go with Pac-Woman. And it was Pac-Man with like hair and braids, like Pippi Longstocking Pac-Man. They got rid of that design. When was the first John Madden football game released? Was it 1984, 1988, or 1991? Colin?
I want to say 88.
Yes, indeed. The first John Madden football was released in 1988.
I need somebody who worked on that.
By 1993, the series' official name was changed to Madden NFL. It's not called John Madden football anymore. Why are these video games significant? Basic math, surround, and combat. Colin.
Is that they were bundled with the Atari 2600?
They were launch titles for the Atari 2600. They were three of the nine very first game. In The Legend of Zelda, who is the character Zelda named after? Dana.
Zelda Fitzgerald?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
They named her after Zelda Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I couldn't name another Zelda.
Well, yeah. Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, who named his kid after Zelda from the video game, who was named after Zelda Fitzgerald. Yes. Huh. That's crazy.
I know. Next question. Crazy. What actor named his daughter Zelda after the video game?
I know! Robin Williams!
All right. Three more. What was the first product that Nintendo ever produced? Karen?
Hanafude cards?
Yeah, playing cards.
They're playing cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like poker cards. Similar, but a different kind of... They also have suits and stuff.
That's the easy one. What's the first product that Sony ever produced? It didn't work very well, as it turns out. Yes?
You can go.
A motorcycle.
No, the first product Sony ever made was a rice cooker.
Yeah. It was a rice cooker. It was a pitch appliance.
Yeah, it was not very good. They started making transistor radios pretty quickly, actually.
Rice cooker.
I don't expect anybody to get this, but it might come up one day. What was the first product or the first piece of software that Microsoft ever produced?
Oh, I know this. What was it?
Word.
It was, in fact, Altair BASIC. It was an interpreter for the BASIC programming language. That's the first thing they did. They very quickly got into the OS business and did...
Yeah!
You never know. Never know. Might come up one day. You might need to know what programming language was Microsoft's first product based on. So now you do. BASIC.
Excellent.
Right. That was good. I did well. I was so scared.
It meets the Karen definition of is this a good quiz or not.
Yeah, it is whether she does well or not.
I know the answers to these questions. Yeah,
good quiz. Yes.
Okay, so Fred likes the X-Men, apparently. X-Men are one of his favorite things. Was there a topic he wanted us to talk about?
Hey, guys, I'm starting to have a feeling here. I think Fred's a nerd.
I don't know if we could say that yet. Jury's still out. But we're going to talk about the X-Men for a while. So I wanted to make a quiz where you could get the answer even if you don't know the X-Men super well. It's more like an Intuit quiz, like maybe a free association. So I'm going to tell you the X-Men, and you tell me what you think their power is.
Oh.
And they're usually fairly well labeled. But the more detail you can give me on what
you think. See, that's no fair, because Colin actually knows the actual X-Men.
I'll handicap myself. I'll wait 3 seconds before I buzz in.
Oh, thanks, Colin.
I'm gonna pick some deep cuts, too, because some of these powers are bananas.
Okay.
We have to talk about.
There are a lot of X-Men to cover.
Yeah. All right, so we'll start easy. Cyclops. Chris.
Laser beams out his eyeballs.
Well, it's actually the power of the sun from his eyes.
Oh, right? Really?
It's a concussive force from his eyes. A ruby-colored.
Ruby-colored concussive force.
I thought it was the power of the sun.
Okay, it's going to be one of those quizzes. actually, you guys.
Scott Summers.
Archangel. Or angel or archangel. Karen.
He has wings.
Yes.
Yes.
Played by Ben Foster.
What's his power, though?
He can fly. Yeah.
Is that it?
He could have been Birdman as well.
He also has hollow bones, like a bird, they say. He not only has wings, he has hollow bones.
Oh, because he's light lighter. Enough?
Mm-hmm.
Here, the next one. Mimic?
Can take other people's superpowers.
All right, so now, those were the easy ones. Those are the classic. All right.
That was warm up.
Darwin.
Who's in the movie? He's in X-Men First Class. He can adapt to his environment by changing his appearance into, like, other animals and stuff.
Constant reactive evolution.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. 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 Sure.
The gist.
What you said.
Colossus.
Are you really giving me the handicap?
Well, I'm just waiting a little, yeah.
Oh, Colossus. He is a hot, naked guy who turns into some sort of bulletproof metal.
Yeah, he can make his whole body metallic.
Yeah.
So these things are deep cuts to me because I don't look at it at all. And so I was like, he becomes a statue that walks around? That's crazy pants. That's interesting.
And there's also the pun there, like, he was Soviet, so it was, like, Soviet Colossus, it was...
God, what is his full name? Peter...
Nikolaevich Rasputin.
Yes, Rasputin.
Yes, that shows you the level of effort they put into naming the Russian characters.
I love this one. Long shot. Colin.
He has extremely good luck.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, really?
Yes.
Okay. That is his superpower?
That's a good superpower, though.
I was thinking, like, good aim or something.
Yeah, but that is attendant with having good luck. Like, if you just so happen to pick up a bow and arrow and just sort of fire an arrow.
Oh, my God.
It's like, he's not like he's good at it. He just so happens. How is that a mutant power?
He can manipulate the probability fields.
Oh, my God.
I think that one's a little weak, I have to say.
Really? I was like, that's cool. I wish probability fields were a thing. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, giant metal Russian guys. Yeah, I'll buy that. But manipulating probability fields, that's just
it's
absurd.
It's not something you can aspire to as a kid. You're like, oh, yeah, I want to be a big bullproof dude. Or I can change the probabilities and maybe make it big in Vegas. I don't know.
Cannonball. Colin.
He can propel himself and he's impervious to damage when he's flying through the air, right? Like a cannonball.
Yeah, he can generate a force field around him and then go really fast through stuff like a cannonball.
I thought he could, like, empty the pool of water when he
well, he can. He uses his force field.
Oh, yeah, he could. Technically. That's his only power.
Cannonball!
Belly flop. I'm just kidding. That's not
that's his sidekick, his belly flop.
Marrow. This one's gross a little bit.
Marrow.
Yeah.
He's delicious.
No.
He can squeeze himself into your bones.
It's related to bones.
He...
It's a she, by the way.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Her bones are made of poison.
Currently, she has bones sticking out of her body.
Ew!
She was formerly able to generate weapons and armors from her external skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more. Lifeguard.
Lifeguard? Excuse me? Lifeguard.
Yeah, I love this one too.
He has a really loud whistle.
He looks really good in red shorts.
He can mouth to mouth the dead back to life.
Oh, that's actually good.
You know what? That might be his power, because his power is actually instinctive adaptive powers, and he permanently has golden skin, wings, and claws, like a lifeguard would. Just kidding.
Your power is you can adapt to anything.
It's like, you are grab a bag man.
Is that all I get?
It's
fine, you can have golden skin.
You know what? A lot of them have all the powers.
Yeah.
That's the trick with a lot of these X-Men. Their power is everybody's powers. Not for
first
everyone.
Guy gets laser eyes, everybody else gets the shaft.
It's all downhill from there.
It's hard to keep generating these things.
Mm.
Okay, so my turn again. And we here at Good Job Brain, we love good anagrams of names.
Indeed. You know,
yeah, like how Old West Action is an anagram of Clint Eastwood. And since our man of the hour, Fred, loves science... I figured I'd combine anagram and science for a segment I'm going to call Science People
science.
Or Epic Clone Pee.
What?
So I always want to do an anagram quiz, but I realize it may be a little bit tricky to solve anagrams on air.
Right.
Since they're more visual based. You kind of have to look at the letters.
Yeah, I usually write them out.
So what I'm going to do is read you a pretty fitting and maybe funny appropriate anagram of a famous scientist's name.
So the anagram will clue to the person.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to have a bit of a descriptive hint.
Okay.
You have two ways to clue in who this person is, and you have to buzz in and tell me who the scientist is.
All right.
So let's start kind of easy. Search ran wild for finches on the Galapagos.
Charles Darwin.
Correct. Charles Darwin. Search ran wild. All right. Actions wane after one body exerts force onto a second body.
Isaac Newton.
Yes, Isaac Newton. Actions wane.
Nice.
Named for the fig Newton.
Trivia. Golden merger is how you describe his relationship with peas. Dana.
Oh, man. What's his name? Gregor Mendel.
Yes, yeah. Gregor Mendel,
wow.
The father of genetics.
Golden merger. That's
golden
good.
Merger. Well, so he worked with peas to have a lot of genetic breakthrough with hybridization and hereditary inheritance trait. But he also kind of lucked out because he worked with pea plants, and it just so happens that pea plants are basic enough in their genetic information that he was able to make hybrids out
right.
of
them. Because they have few enough traits too, right?
Yep. Minted ornate blob is a visual representation of recursive mathematics.
Mandelbrot. What yes. was his first name? Was it Minted Ornate Blob? I should be able to do it by deduction.
It is Benoit.
That's right.
Benoit
that's right.
Mandelbrot. Mandelbros. Minted Ornate Blob. And obviously, if you remember those big fractal diagrams, it is a very ornate blob. Okay, here's a good one. Only see star design. This guy was obsessed about the inaccurate starry sky in a specific scene from James Cameron's Titanic.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Correct. Neil deGrasse Tyson, famous current astrophysicist. His anagram is Only See Star Design.
That's good.
A spoil suture is this scientist's pet peeve because he hates bacteria growth.
Louis Pasteur.
Yes!
Okay. I was thinking Lister. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Spacious circle noun is the pathway of the Earth orbiting around the sun.
Nicholas Copernicus.
Correct. Spacious circle noun. And lastly, run anti-lag, because those early machines were really slow. Run anti-lag.
Alan Turing?
Oh,
yes, oh, Alan good, Turing.
Good. Wow.
Very good.
So there you go. Epic clone pee or science people.
That was still really good.
P-E-E.
It is.
Our favorite okay. type. Our favorite type of pee.
Yo.
Epic clone pee.
That's gross.
There you
Enjoy,
go.
Enjoy, Fred.
Just for you.
Well, Fred also let us know that he's a big fan of sci-fi horror movies, 70s, 80s in particular. So I put together a little quiz here. I'm going to give you guys a quote from a famous sci-fi / horror movie of the 70s or 80s, and you guys tell me the movie.
Oh, okay. Man, I like no one. I'm going to predict right. it.
And part of this quiz, hopefully, is that you can reason it out if you don't outright mm-hmm. know it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, these are all famous movies, and here we go.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with Satan, Mama. It's me. Me. If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things. Karen.
Carrie.
It is Carrie.
Yeah.
Spoken mm-hmm. by Carrie herself.
Sissy Spacek.
That's right. That's right. People are being duplicated. And once it happens to you, you're part of this thing. It almost happened to me.
Good acting.
People are being duplicated. Chris.
Is it Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
No, that's my guess.
It is. Oh. Well, it was all your guess, but Chris said it. Yes, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake, I should add, the 1970s version.
Okay.
You still don't understand what you're dealing with, do you? Perfect organism. Its structural perfection is matched only by its hostility. Chris.
Is this Alien?
It is Alien, oh, indeed.
I was hoping for Game Over, man.
That's, yeah, so that was Ash talking about the Alien.
Hmm.
More human than human is our motto. Dana.
Blade Runner.
It is Blade Runner.
Yeah!
Good
job!
The unofficial official movie of Good Job, Brain.
It's been a while since we talked about it.
Yes, that's Tyrell, of course, talking about replicant technology. It had been a wonderful evening, and what I needed now to give it the perfect ending was a little of the Ludwig van. Chris again.
A Clockwork Orange.
It is A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yes!
Yes. All right, last one here. Let's close this out. I wonder if you'd mind helping us. You see, our car broke down a few miles up the road. Do you have a phone we might use? I'm going to say Chris again.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It is the Rocky Horror Picture Show, spoken by Brad very earnestly.
Barry Bostwick.
Barry Bostwick, that's right. All right, well, good job, guys.
Woo-hoo!
Well, before we end this episode, as you may remember from our last episode, our robots episode, we tried to end with a musical quiz, but the quiz was stolen.
It was hijacked.
Shanghaied by international parody thief, Carmen San Mateo. similar to, but legally distinct from
that other thing.
And one of her gang members is in cahoots with her, Mama Castorian. Shantou's fan of food additives. So Carmen San Mateo left us a message, and we asked you, the listeners, to help us figure out where she had gone to based on the contents of that message. Now, we, the Good Job Brain members, traveled to this location, and this is what we found.
Agents, over here. Good thing your last two episodes were about animation and robots. That must have helped you pick out the theme song of Japan's most famous animated robot, Astro Boy. It plays every time a train leaves the Takadanobaba station here in Tokyo. Now listen, Brainiacs, Carmen San Mateo already gave us the slip, but we got some intel on Mama Castorian. Looks like she left us a sandwich. By which I mean, we need a word for the meat of a particular farm animal. Then, we need a word for the noises a certain other farm animal makes. Put the first word exactly into the middle of the second word, and then you'll know the country Mama Castorian escaped to. Now, get out of here. You're going to blow my cover.
Okay, well, it looks like our informant has given us another puzzle that I believe we're going to pass on to the Good Job Brain listeners.
Oh.
If you think you know what country Mama Castorium has escaped to, as clued by the clues given to us by our informant, then go ahead and write to us at gjb.podcast@gmail.com and see if you can solve where Mama Castorium has gone off to now.
Mm. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, always dun, dun. One step it? Behind her.
Yeah. And there you go. That is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. And of course, a big special thanks to Fred G from New York, who's also from Belgium, as we learned. Yeah. Hope you guys learned a lot about Belgium and things that are not from Belgium, and scientists, and Quentin Tarantino, and X-Men, and movies, and such. And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And join us on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Later.
Swing of Dennis Hopper.
From side to side. Come on, it's time to go do the Mario. Take one step and then again, let's do the Mario all together.